Beloved congregation, this day is for the church over the length and over the breadth of this earth a very significant day. We can call this day the payday for God's church, because Christ in the Council of Peace in eternity already elected by his Father had given himself as surety and mediator for his church, and have obliged himself to take upon him our divine nature, and not to rule in that nature, but to suffer and to die instead of his people. For 33 years, Christ had suffered in soul and in body, as no person in the whole world ever have suffered. He had trodden the winepress only, and there was not one of the nations with him. That cup that the Father had placed upon his hand, full of indignation, full of the wrath of God, he had emptied that cup, that there was no drop left for his people and for his children. 33 years never having rest, on account that the Father as yet was behind him, never having rest while the devil and the power of hell was behind him, and also the curse of the law, and the millions and millions and millions and millions sin of his people, that he has declared, the fox have holes and the bird has nests, but the Son of Man had nothing to lay down his head. And now with Good Friday, there came an end. An end to all his suffering. An end to all his strife, an end to all his afflictions, as we hope to hear this evening out of the word of my text. You can find my text for this evening in the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 50. Jesus when he had cried again, with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Thus far. This evening, we hope to talk with you about the death of the mediator. In the first place, how that he surrendered himself into death. In the second place, his death was an action, and in the third place, his death was of great effect. It was, congregation, about 9 o'clock in the morning that Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross. That he had to die that shameful, that painful, and that accursed death. And what aggravated his suffering also while he was hanging on the cross, that was of course that still his enemies and that still the devil was not satisfied. Where Christ was hanged there, that they mocked him, they have pierced his soul in such an awful way that they still denied him as the Son of God. And that all kind of slandering that they throw unto him. But when it was 12 o'clock in the afternoon, then there came a darkness over the whole land. Not an eclipse, no, no. The darkness of hell that came upon Christ. And it reminds us, congregation, to what we have done in our covenant had Adam in paradise. You have heard that so many times already in your life, that men had not only sinned against the highest majesty of the Lord, but that we also have turned our back to the Lord, that we have done, as you read in Luke 15 in that parable of the prodigal son, that he runs away in a far country with a substance that his father had given him. We have torn ourselves from the Lord in paradise. And now God as yet. He had forsaken his son for a space of 3 hours. There was never in the world a time as that afternoon, because I tell you many times from the pulpit, and I have to do it, I have to do it. That the place that we have chosen, that is hell. Nothing else. And shall we ever enter into heaven, congregation, we have first to go through hell. That means we have to live in insight what it is without God in the world. And what it means, congregation, to live without God. We sing so many times that Psalter 202, and then that one line that said there, to live apart from God is death. And I can mention that to you 100 times. But the reality in our own heart and in our own soul, and there have to come for us in time that it become reality that we are without God in the world. We talk this morning with some people that visit us about that too in our home. What it means to standing there alone in this world. And no place to go. No place to go, people. Of course, if they become reality for us, then the Lord is on his way to reveal himself, because we cannot live there. When Saul, the first king of Israel, when the Lord leave him over to himself, then he went to that witch in Endor, and then he said, the Lord is no more speaking to me. And the next day, you know, there he took his own life. Oh, congregation, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, we have to realize something of it for our own heart. Not as Christ, of course, because he was a surety of the church. And Christ's human nature, in all the suffering, was upholded by his divine nature. And when God's people go through those depths, then they realize that later on in their life, then there is an invisible hand that upholded them and that strengthened them in all their anguish and in all their pain and in all their grief. But now that Christ, he came through it. Christ had fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets in the olden days. From moment to moment, from step to step, what Christ had made here in this world, that we find that all back in the Old Testament. You read, I give you this evening only one example. You read in Hebrews 13, the 11th verse, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And in Leviticus 17, you find that there described what must be done with that sin offering, but in the same time was also a peace offering and a sacrifice acceptable in the sight of the Lord. There was a necessity that Christ had to die. Of course, that necessity that lays in the justice of God. And we have to realize also this evening that Christ died on the cross freely, voluntarily. There was no one that could compel him to die, because he was without original and without actual sin. And he had not to die for himself, but he had given his soul as a ransom for many. And it was his desire to die. Why? Because the justice and the truth of God was requiring his death. And that brings us back, oh congregation, we have time and again in our life to come back. The Lord has to bring us back. To what place have he to bring us back? And that is to paradise, where the Lord has declared, in that day that you shall eat, you shall surely die. And the Lord, he has to maintain his justice. He has to maintain his righteousness. Therefore, the surety of the church have to die. And he have to sacrifice his life. But of course, now the question that arises in this evening, in what manner and in what way that Christ died on the cross? In the first place, the text said in this evening, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, Thus he died not because he was so weak. He died not on the cross because he was wasted away in regard to the strength of his body. No. We have heard Sunday evening that Christ hanging on the cross, that he still reveal himself as king, as priest, and as prophet, and that he reveal himself there in his divine power that nobody could stop him. Christ talked to the women, to the daughters of Jerusalem. He delivered a sermon to them, but there was not the one that stopped his mouth. No. And the sixth cross word, that is, that he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And that voice, also that seventh cross word, that was so powerful, it is heard in heaven. That voice that is heard in hell, and that voice that is still heard in the hearts of God's people, when the Lord brings him in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord brings that people to an end with their own work, when that people there is standing as a lost sinner, and no hope and no expectation, that then the Lord speaks to that people of peace, pardon and peace. And it is with a loud voice, congregation. Oh, that mediator, that Savior, he had declared in John 10, "I lay my life down, and I take it away upon me." This comment, "I have received from my Father." And all congregation, that in this evening, that our eyes were opened for the glory of Christ. The last work that Dr. Owen wrote in his life, the title that is "The Glory of Christ." And it was, as he said at the end of that book, it was his delight, it was a pleasure for his soul to write those letters and lines about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Rutherford, he said, "If there were 1,000 heavens, one above the other, then I placed that Christ in the highest heaven, in the highest of all. And if we fall away in our heart, if we fall away with ourselves, then there is nothing left than Christ, and him crucified, but also him glorified." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he had done it more. Oh, he did it his whole life, because he said already in John 5, verse 45, "The hour is come and is now, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those that have heard it, they shall live." And all God's children, in the beginning and later on, they learn how death that they are, people. It is even impossible to describe it. But sometimes, when they are alone with the Lord in their life, sometimes when they are alone with him, and that they talk with him freely, familiar. Oh, then with tears in their eyes, then they say, oh Lord, I am such a wretched one. Oh, I am so dead, so dead. And shall now the dead, shall they ever hear the words of the Son of God, then the Lord he come back to them. And then you read in the Song of Solomon, this is the voice of my beloved. With a loud voice again, so Christ he died on the cross of Calvary, and his death, that was a reconciling death, it was a redeeming death, it was a conquering death, a victorious death, and it was the death of the surety, and that is of course the main thing of all people. Christ died for his people. Christ died for his children. And the death of Christ was such an fact and a divine act that there is no more death for God's people. Death is swallowed up into victory. There are times in the life of God's people that they so bothered with death. There are times in their life that they say, oh Lord, oh, if I have to die, I don't know. Maybe I jump to the wall and I take the mortal out of that wall there. It's such an agony. But the Lord, he said in his word, blessed are the dead that died in the Lord. From henceforth, the Lord, he maketh well with his people, because Christ died for their sins, and Christ, he reconciled that people with God, and God with that people, and death that is taken away on the cross of Calvary for all God's children. And of course, grace to die, we receive it not 10 years before we die. And the Lord gave it not 20 years before we die. No. Oh, if that has happened, people, what a big person would we be in the world. We were so bright and so haughty. There was nobody that could live with us if we have it 10 or 20 years before. But the Lord, he said in his word that he have left a needy, an afflicted people, and we have our own life to stay on our knees. And all the time of our life, people, and back at the throne of grace. Christ died when he cried again with a loud voice. Did he say not something before he died? Yes. He spoke seven words, seven sermons. And the last word that he spoke was, Father, in thy hand I commit my spirit. He said, Father, in the 3 hours of darkness, he could not mention the name of his Father. He did it in John 12. He did it in Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there he said, Father, Abba Father, lovely Father, because Abba Father The significance is lovely, Father. Lovely. And when he came on the cross, then his first word that was also, Father. And we have heard in this afternoon in the Holland service an unmovable reliance upon God his Father. Unmovable, firm, and solid. And so powerful. But in the hours of darkness he could not mention the name of his Father. Was he forsaken of his Father? No. Wel forsaken of God. As yet. Because there is from all eternity, from all eternity, a perfect harmony between the three persons in the Trinity. There is no changing, there is no quarrel. There is no separation at all. But at the end of the 3 hours of darkness, and especially when he cried out, it is finished, then Christ commended his spirit in the hands of his Father. That is a wonderful point, congregation. I hope that the Lord gave me light to express that, to explain that to you this evening. Because even that we are a minister, and a minister for so many years, we have to be taught as a child, really. To be taught as a child all the time. And that is also the word of God, and what we read in the word of God, that is always new. Always. And we never, inexhaustible is it. Inexhaustible. It come never to an end. You come never to the bottom of it. That is such a blessing, my friends. When the Lord had called us, then he brings us in the mysteries of faith. And then he brings us in that sanctuary. He said, Father, in thy hand I commit my spirit, Father. Thus at the end of his suffering, then he had a free access to his Father. And again I have to talk, to say to you this evening, that Christ there obtained and merited for his people the spirit of adoption. That they cry, Abba, Father. And that there are moments in their life that they have freedom and liberty. That I would say this evening that there is nothing, that there is nothing in the way. Many times in bands and in captivity. Many times all we are shut down, but not always, people. No, not always. Sometimes the Lord, he brings the people on the mount of Calvary. And there at the feet of the cross, there they receive that freedom and that liberty. But now the secret, what I will tell you and explain this evening. Father, in thy hand I commend my spirit. Christ give everything over in the hand of his Father. And that is now the point that I will explain to you with the help of the Lord. In the church, there is concerned people and there is established people. An established Christian, that is a man that can say with Job,
I know my Redeemer lives. Ruth, she was a concerned soul. But on the border of Moab and Israel, there she made a wonderful confession. She said to Naomi, to their mother-in-law, thy people is my people, and thy God is my God. Still she was concerned. She was not married. She was a widow. She lay still under the curse. She was a Moabite, you know. And now, what is one of the reasons that God's people not come to that full assurance of faith in their life? What is the reason that they are so wavering time and again? What is the reason that they are in agony so many times? Oh, the reason is that they are missing what the Lord Jesus Christ had on Calvary's cross. Father, I commend my spirit into thy hand. And what is now the meaning of that word? That the Lord Jesus Christ, as a surety of the church, he gave himself and his mediatorial work over in the hand of his Father. The Father had to accept his Spirit. And the acceptance of the Spirit by the Father, that was the first way, the first thing on the way to the full victory. The Father accepted Spirit of his Son. The soul of man, the spirit of man, that is the precious thing what we have. The precious thing. And now that soul departed out of the body. And now Christ, he asked his Father for the protection of that body, for the covering of that part of that body. The Lord, he asked his Father there to take care for his soul. And he could take care for his soul when the Father was resting in the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, in other words, in our days you see sometime pamphlets with big letters, Christ is the answer. Christ is the only answer. Right. I say nothing against it. No. Because Christ is all and in all. It is but the question that we have riddles here. And it is the question that we cannot come out with ourselves. But it is also personally, and that is by the grace of God, congregation, by the grace of God, that we surrendered ourselves for time and eternity in the hands of the Lord. In other words, that we are waiting for the approval of the Father. In the resurrection, we hope, if the Lord not spared us to some till Sunday, in the resurrection of Christ, and we hope to hear someday, that the Father gave in the hand of his Son the receipt that all the guilt was paid off, and that he fully was satisfied with the mediatorial work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And now is there well people in the church that has some knowledge of Christ, and that is well as left in the mediatorial work of Christ, But it came never to the point that they surrender himself in the hand of the Lord, that the Lord could do with them what he wants, and that they were waiting personally, were waiting for the divine approval. Let I say this, congregation, that it comes in our life to a solution. For Christ came to a solution on the cross of Calvary. The Apostle Paul, he has said something of that in the epistle up to the Colossians. And there he said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That had taken place on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, the death of Christ, that was an act of Christ himself. As a Son of God and as a surety of the church. Father, in thy hand I commend my spirit. Christ would say, in thy hand, Father, my spirit is pure. My spirit is protected. Then I have nothing to fear. No. Because for Christ consciousness was the hour of death almost as the hour of the resurrection. Because the Father satisfied, Satan's cup was bruised, the curse of the law taken away, the sins of the people were buried, and the power of sin was broken. And now, Father, in the end, all that free access that Christ had to his Father. And that means now for the whole church, in life and death, to commit or to commend ourselves in the hand of the Father. And that was also for the Son of God, the fulfilling of what there was spoken in Psalm 31. As we sing now together, number 80, since thou my rock and fortress art, my leader be and guide, from all temptations rescue me, thou dost my strength abide, to thee my spirit I commend. Number 83 and 4. And now, congregation, the great effect of the death of Christ. Wat een miracles en wat een wonders took place when Christ cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. What a miracle. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. From the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top, but from the top to the bottom. Who was doing that? Who had done it? That was God the Father in heaven. He rent that veil there in the temple. Now the way to God's throne and to the heart of the Father was open for all God's people. There were several people that arose in their grave. God's people. They stay in the grave to Sunday morning. On the Sabbath day they came in the city. But from Friday evening to Saturday to Sunday morning, they stay alive in the grave. Miracles of the Lord. Because with justification then we can go free out. Oh, then there is no condemnation for all those that are in Christ Jesus. And we read more, oh yes. We read also in Luke 23, verse 48. In 37, now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man, converted on the feet of the cross. And then all the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote her breast and returned. And the same that you find that where, children? You find that in Luke 18 of the publican. He smote his breast too. Oh, they came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And soon congregation, then there is a Joseph of Arimathea, there is a Nicodemus, that were for 3 years hidden. No curse, no light. In bands and in captivity. And there goes so much out of that dying Christ on the cross of Calvary that Joseph of Arimathea, he went to Pilate to ask for the body of Christ. And Nicodemus, he goes in the store and he buys their spices, 100 pounds. And he carried it all to the grave. Oh, what a wonder, what an effect, people. Yeah. What an effect. And I am glad this evening, really, I am glad, that I can preach to you the crucified Christ. I am glad this evening, really. I am not always glad, no. But I am glad that I can preach that full gospel as it is in Christ Jesus. Oh, there is no sinner too old. There is no sinner too young. There is no sinner to heart. There is maybe people here in my midst this evening that will say, oh man, if you know what an enemy that I am, if you know what a corrupt person that I am, I think there is not another one in the whole world, but oh, come unto me. all that are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Christ had finished the work. And through that finished work, the Father is satisfied. And he will reveal his grace and his Son in the heart of his dear children, that they believe in him, and all that believe in him that have everlasting life, and that shall never perish, young and old, great and small. We have commemorate 7 weeks the suffering of Christ. We have laid it open before you what the justice of God required from Christ's assurity. And how deep that he had humbled himself, but that he came to the end and he died with faith in his heart, with hope in his soul, and with love in his seed soul. So he died. And he died free, voluntarily. He died with joy in his heart. And what was now the joy of that mediator and savior, that the Father receive all the honor and glory, and also that the sisters be saved and be delivered, and that by virtue of that mediatorial work, that there come also a time for the people that they can leave this sinful world, and that they shall lay off the body of death, and that soon the devil have no more power over them, and that they shall enter into that country where no inhabitant would say, I am sick, because the people that is there, that shall have forgiveness of all their iniquities. My uncle Furtet, fellow travelers, to that great and ever-ending eternity, did the word and the preaching of the Lord have some effect in your heart in these weeks? Was there some humbleness in your soul? Were there times in your life that it became necessary that Christ died to satisfy the justice of his Father? Did you ever bow before him in these weeks? Oh, if it never had taken place, that you were privileged to do it this evening. Today, where you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let the love of Christ pour out in your heart. Let it give you grace to bow before him, to cleave up on him, to walk behind him. Son of David, Son of David, have mercy. Children, tis Good Friday, soon it is Easter. Oh, in the days of your youth, think about it. Not when you are 70 and 80 and 90, no. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Seek the Lord where he is to be found, and call upon him while he is near. Christ, erskine said, Christ is walking on our streets. He is standing before us in this evening. And he showed unto us that he had no pleasure in our death and his destruction. But look unto me, all the ends of the world, and be saved. There is people in my midst, discouraged. There is people that condemn themselves. There is people here sitting this evening that say, Lord, it is again past now. All those sermons and no effect for my poor soul, no effect. Sometimes I go to the church and I ask the Lord for a blessing. But times, there were times too that I go to the church and that they did not ask for a blessing, that I will get it. Forget it. But now they say inside, oh, what shall it be when death come? And then to die without that Christ, what shall it be? Old people and young people, I hope that the heart is a real desire, a real need. Keep on constantly seek the Lord and his strength and his power. And if that desire is in our heart after that Christ, that true desire, the Lord shall give the desire of your heart at this time. And one thing I can tell you this evening, if it goes over in our life, that's a bad sign. Oh, that is a bad sign. But if it keep on here, if it keep on, notwithstanding all the feelings of our unworthiness, and that we have no right as only to be condemned. But David, he said, my eyes are continually upon the Lord, seeking souls in my midst. Oh, in this coming night, 'tis only a moment for the Lord, or tomorrow, or in the next Sabbath day, that the Lord gladdened your heart. And that in next Sunday morning that you could come to the church here. And on the yard, also on the yard already, before you come in the church. Not to talk about the things of the world. And all what the people make so busy in these days. No. But that you could say to one another Sunday, truly, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. I hope that the Lord give that to that people that cannot live and that cannot die without him. And that for God's children, the assurance and the approval of the Holy Spirit was given in their heart. That also in the next Sabbath day, that our soul rejoice in that risen Christ. And that we find in him and in him only our only foundation. And that for time and for eternity. Amen. Lord, that we acknowledge thy name. That thou hast holpen us a little this evening to speak thy word and testimony. Sanctify it to our hearts, to the hearts of the congregation, young and old, great and small. We command them all at thy throne in the needs and wants. Arise, Arise over our congregation. Arise in our families. Arise in our heart. Speak comfortably to thy people. Comfort sinners that they are awakened out of their sleep and out of the darkness, and that Christ may be lightened upon their heart. Bring us the next Sabbath day back, if it can please thee, in thy house. Forgive all the shortcomings, and remember us with our families in mercy and in compassion, with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 202, the first stanza. All they that forsake thee must perish and die. 202, the second stanza, the third. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.